Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham, and on this week's show, we're going to talk about the Oregon Military Museum. It's a labor of love that's been in the works since the mid-70s. On the show this time, I would like to welcome General Dan O'Halloran, president with the Oregon Military Museum Project, and also the executive director, Amy Maxwell. Hi there, guys. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Gary. Nice to talk with you today.
Yeah. So let's get started today by telling everybody, what is the Oregon Military Museum Project?
Well, the Oregon Military Museum Project is the nonprofit arm of the is to support the Oregon Military Museum, which is located at Camp Withicum in Clackamas, Oregon.
Okay.
Just off 205. And the Oregon Military Museum was actually established in 1975. It is the, per the state legislature, it's the official repository for Oregon historical military artifacts, etc. And it started very small with a group, back in the 70s and 80s, and we really didn't take flight until after the BRAC occurred in 2005, which is base realignment and closure, that directed that some armories in the state be closed and a new facility called the Armed Forces Reserve Center opened at Camp Withicum, was built at Camp Withicum. So the Oregon Military Museum relocated to the old armory. And since about 2013, we have started a renovation process, finished maybe the major phase of it in about 2017. We were given $1 million from the state legislature in 2017. We completed a major update in 2019. And now we're really excited because we have one phase left to go, and that's we've been given a $2 million allocation from the state legislature in 2019 to be spent this year, and we'll be beginning the final phase of exhibit design and fabrication this summer.
So you've been working on this museum for a while. It's a labor of love, I would imagine.
Yes, it is. Amy's actually been working on it longer than I have. So I was recruited by a prior adjutant general, and next thing you know, we're knee-deep in it, and we can't let go.
Yeah, actually, General Reese folded me into the mix along with Tommy Thayer, and it was actually Tommy and myself and his brother Jim that founded the Oregon Military Museum Project in 2016. We took it over from an education foundation that was running the project, and for them, it was just a little bit too big of a project to manage. And so with our backgrounds, we felt we could manage the project to the degree that it needed to be managed. And that's when we founded the OMMP. And we've been raising funds ever since. And the need for the OMMP is to be the actual foundation and the raising of private funds from the public versus the state and federal support that comes in through the state legislature and the federal government.
You mentioned a minute ago the name Tommy Thayer. Of course, he is a member of the super rock band Kiss, right? How did Tommy get involved in this in the Oregon Military Museum?
His father was a Brigadier General, James B. Thayer, and he was a very significant person in Oregon's military history. A community and business member, very successful individual on a number of different boards, you know, throughout the course of his life. And
World War II decorated soldier.
Yeah, and so that's how Tommy got involved. And through Tommy, I was pulled into the project. And initially, the two of us were just pulled in to do an event to kick off the fundraising for the capital campaign for the building of the museum. And then, of course, General Reese very sweetly brought us on board for a long-term project.
We're talking today with General Dan O'Halloran and Amy Maxwell with the Oregon Military Museum Project. Now, when do you expect the doors to be open on the museum?
This last phase, what I'll call the last phase right now, is the design and fabrication of the exhibits in the main exhibit hall and the weapons gallery. It's very significant, major milestone. Our anticipation, based on the information I've seen on the bids coming in, which should start, the design should start this summer, I would anticipate Veterans Day, circa Veterans Day 2022 is when we'll be done with this part.
And did I read that there's over 14,000 artifacts expected to be in the museum?
That's correct.
That's a lot of stuff.
It is. It is. Almost 1,000 small arms, incredible small arms collection, and 30,000 books in our library. We've just finished the library modernization, so that's done. Excellent. 750 cubic feet of documentation that we have gathered over the years, and excellent resource for any military historians that want to come and do research.
The library is being named after Thomas E. Withicom and the Withicom family, both because they donated financially to that portion of the project, but then we're also taking on Thomas Withicom's military artifacts and books.
Library.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's the grandson of Governor James Withicom.
Okay.
And he was also a veteran of the Korean War.
Tell me about some of the collections that are going to be in the museum. Now, there's going to be some big stuff, right? I mean, big in size.
Yes, probably the, and it's near and dear to my heart since I'm an Air Force retiree, the centerpiece in the main exhibit hall is an F-86. And we just recently got that reassembled. It's been disassembled for many years. It's reassembled and now is the centerpiece. Surrounding that will be several other macro artifacts, artillery, wheeled vehicles, track vehicles. We've just placed four of the five tanks that will eventually be on display. Four of them now are on display in the outside area. And so, yeah, that's we go all the way from literally World War One vehicles, Spanish-American War artillery, all the way up to what we would call e-robots that were used by the Oregon Air National Guard in the Middle East during some of the Desert Storm wars for disabling IEDs. So it's a pretty broad spectrum.
Yeah. Where did all these artifacts come from? How did you collect them all?
Well, I didn't collect too many of them, although I did have a robot, but they've been amassed over the last 45 years. that the museum's been in existence. There were some pretty creative people that were in charge of the museum in the early days and were able to acquire a lot of these over the years.
There have been a lot of donations from families. So servicemen and women tend to sometimes bring things back with them after serving, or things have been given to them, or it's also been gifted by, other countries at the end of wars and stuff. We actually received some artillery in that regard that was pretty significant. And so it comes in many different ways. Sometimes people and families will physically show up with boxes to the museum, and then it's the job of the curator to assess those and see if there's anything in need. And then at other times, we get emails or phone calls from people seeing if there's any sort of interest, because they're basically looking for a home for this stuff so that it can be used in educational purposes.
Yeah, I want to hear about the educational aspects behind that, because when the museum, the Oregon Military Museum, actually opens up, there's a lot of history there and a lot of education that can be, like, for students and things like that, right?
Absolutely. When the museum was opened in the early 2000s, we would see actually on the order of 4,000 people a year come through, and a lot of them were students. Elementary and middle school students that would come through, and that's been that is now one of our pillars is education. We have a wing now that we've remodeled it, and it's focused on education. So we're starting to interface with the local school districts, Westland, Wilsonville, Oregon City, Clackamas, etc. So to get them apprised of the museum and encourage them to start scheduling that next year.
That's so great. Yeah, it's the history is just astounding.
Yeah, we also do an event every May called Living History Day, and out in the middle of the parking lot and the grounds of the museum, we have different displays. We have reenactors come out. We have, some of our guardsmen and women come out and teach kids and show them how different things work, what their jobs are. They get to try on like helmets and vests and physically touch certain things that are safe and get kind of a hands-on experience. And it's been pretty successful. We had to stop doing it due to COVID. And so this year we won't be doing it. It's always around Armed Forces Day. Is the time frame that we typically do that. But we do plan on expanding on that and keeping that going once we move past COVID.
I might add to that. Amy was talking about where this Living History Day is situated. The museum actually sits on what's been designated as the historical park for the Camp Wythica facility. And that is comprised of the main museum building, a quartermaster storehouse building that was relocated, and the exhibits are actually complete in that. It's a great exhibit to walk through. The Battery A artillery horse barn, where back in the early 1900s, they pulled their artillery with horses, and this is actually the horse barn, and it's got a great display, set of displays in it. And then adjacent to that is the home of the Adjutant General for the state of Oregon, who's currently General Mike Stensel. And that's all part of the historical park. And so that's where we hold these kinds of events.
A lot of history right there.
Yep.
You're listening to Let's Talk Portland, and we're talking today with General Dan O'Halloran and Amy Maxwell with the Oregon Military Museum Project. What do you think the museum means to veterans? Maybe you've had some conversations with veterans, and what does it mean to them?
It means a lot. The you know, one of our key mantras is we must remember the veterans. They want to be remembered. They were proud of their service. They don't want to brag about their service, but they do want to be remembered. And that's absolutely fundamental to our mission, is to remember them. And we get them all through, and they come through and have a lot of stories. And we're really, and our future docents and volunteers are all veterans for the most part. It's great to hear their stories, and they want to come by and share them and take a walk through history.
We had a sergeant do a presentation, a keynote speech at one of our events. It was actually honoring the Korean War veterans, and it was Sergeant Jacques. And he and I sat down, and he wanted to know what he needed to talk about. And I basically said to him, I said, you know, please illustrate why you chose to do this. You know, what's in your heart? We wanted to bring kind of a human factor to it. And it's a quote that we use all the time now. He's like, Amy, it's simple. I'm willing to give my life for my country, but please don't forget me. And so that quote right there just kind of sums up how a majority of these veterans or active military feel right now.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. And sums it up completely right there, right? Let's turn and talk about some of your fundraising efforts. You've got some on the way very soon.
Yes, we do. We have a couple that we're really excited about. We love to partner with Oregon-based businesses, and due to COVID, we haven't been able to have some of our traditional gala-type events. And so over Memorial Day, we are partnering with Stickman Brewing out in the Tualatin area, and they're donating 10% of their proceeds the course of that weekend to the museum, which we really appreciate. And we are actually in talks of possibly doing a signature specialized beer can that supports the museum as well. That's going to be a little bit in the future because there's a little bit more planning that goes involved with that. But they've really been supportive. We have attended events out at their facility in conjunction with the Pacific Northwest Defense Coalition. And so that's how our relationship started with Stickman Brewing. And we plan on expanding on that and continuing with them as a partner into the future. The other partnership that we have is with the Stephanie Inn in Cannon Beach. And they so graciously donated a spa weekend getaway. And so we're going to be raffling off between now and June 4th a $1,600 valued getaway spa weekend at the Stephanie Inn. And so those are the two ways that we're looking at raising funds during this time, because we're somewhat limited due to COVID.
Yeah, we should be going public within social media, et cetera, websites on that raffle pretty quick.
Yep, actually today.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that Stephanie Inn is a pretty swank place.
Very.
Yes, it is. And we really have a lot of friends down in the Cannon Beach area, and they've been supportive at different times over the year. And so we really appreciate the Stephanie stepping up.
How do people get, how can they get raffle tickets? It looks like there's only a pretty small amount available, right? So you have a really good chance of winning.
Yes, so the raffle tickets are $20 each, and we are only selling 500, and they can get them at tickettomato.com, or they can visit our website, which is the Oregon Military Museum Project.org, and there'll be a link there as well, or through our social media. So we'll have various links throughout where they can go and find the information in regards to it.
How can people get involved and help you guys out? Anybody listening, if they want to get involved, how do they do that?
I think we have a pretty solid group of volunteers, but as the museum gets closer to opening, I think that's where the assistance could come in, particularly those who have particular strong expertise in some part of Oregon military history, where they could actually serve as a docent, you know, basically a resident expert that serves as a guide. For the most part, the museum will be designed to be self-guided, but having docents in the area is excellent. So I think that's the main thrust that they can help out. Certainly donations as well.
And we have on our website, people can sign up for our newsletter. And it's a really great way for them to stay in touch with us. And through our newsletter, we frequently will send out inquiries. When we typically do events, we'll send out an inquiry to see if anyone wants to volunteer and support our efforts. So a really good way for them to stay in touch with us is through our social media on Facebook and Twitter, through our e-newsletter.
And you want to give out the website so people can find you that way too?
Yes, it is the Oregon Military Museum Project.
I want to ask both of you, what does it mean to you personally to be involved in the Oregon Military Museum? General, we'll start with you.
Well, it means, just reiterating what I already talked about, it means we are preserving history. While Oregon is not a strong military state, there is a strong military history if you go back many, many years. And if it's just absolutely vital that we preserve that and that we are able to educate and inspire future generations, where they can see that they can make a difference, they can see the importance of history, and that's what I've just, you know, it's kept me moving, kept me inspired, and kept me anxious to see this through, and we're so excited about next year with the construction, design and construction starting this year on the final phase. It's very exciting.
Yeah. Amy, how about you?
Well, I personally have been touched by a number of people in my life, whether it's family members or close friends, that have shared with me, you know, their military connections and history. I had a grandfather who was a pilot. He ended up not actually flying during the war, during World War II, because the war ended just as he was, getting to that phase. But just in hearing his experiences, and another close family member was actually killed in the South Pacific and was given a Purple Heart, which I have at this moment in time. And I have all of, his records and information in regards to that. And so I've been touched in that way. And then getting involved in this project, I have met some really exceptional people that have chosen to devote their lives to the service. And it's amazing to me, whether it's the work that they do here or abroad, it's just the selflessness and the courage and the honor of who they are and what they do is what motivates me to support this.
Well, this is just a fantastic tribute. Thank you both for being involved in it. As we wrap up here, let us know exactly when you think it's going to be opening up and the location one more time.
I would say that our target date is Veterans Day 2022 to have all the exhibits up and running. My desire is to have sneak peek openings over the next few months, particularly with maybe community leaders, et cetera, to bring them in and let them see where, you know, the incredible facility that we have now, and start generating some interest in terms of the museum. We anticipate also a museum store to be opening online prior to the official opening next year. And so we'll have some, things available for sale there.
That's great. Well, definitely after speaking to you two today, I can tell it's a definite labor of love. Yeah, for sure.
Yes, it is.
Yes. I'm not sure if the emphasis is on labor or love.
It depends on which day it is, probably, right?
Right.
Yes.
We've been talking today with General Dan O'Halloran, President, and Amy Maxwell, Executive Director with the Oregon Military Museum Project. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.